Seriously, what?
Two young people decided to form their own organization called the Guardian Angels. You see them with red berets. When you see them, you get a nice, secure feeling in your heart.
I admire Curtis Sliwa, and I think that he takes his life into his own hands doing what he does.
Curtis Sliwa, the Guardian Angels founder and leader.
We've got Curtis Sliwa from WAPC Radio.
Curtis Sliwa, legendary New York.
The Drive at 5 with Curtis Sliwa. What happened today, why, and what's next? Live, local, on it, 77 WABC.
It must be like Putin there to begin. We must be like Putin there not giving. You must be like Putin in just one way. You must be like Putin, you won't run away.
7 minutes after the hour 5. This is the number one song, dance song, in all of Mother Russia, a.k.a. the old Soviet Union. It's top 40, two bullets to the back of your head, courtesy of the dictator of Russia, and that is Vladimir Putin. And this is your drive home at 5. Once again, I know a lot of you, you're jumping in your cars, your pickup trucks, your vans, you're reconnecting with us on terrestrial radio. Or it could well be you've got us on your laptop, or you're streaming audio, or you're on your app. Whatever way you happen to be listening, there's been so many changes in the last 48-hour period since Donald Trump dropped the hammer on James Comey as his FBI director. At first, we thought, hey, it was that deputy attorney general who kicked up a report about Comey to the attorney general, who then turned it over to the president, who said, yep, that's it. And then in a special sit-down with Lester Holt of NBC News, Trump embellishes on that, in fact, actually circles back on that.
He's a showboat. He's a grandstander. The FBI has been in turmoil. You know that. I know that. Everybody knows that. You take a look at the FBI a year ago. It was in virtual turmoil less than a year ago. It hasn't recovered from that.
So Lester wanted to know, was it the deputy attorney general's report that did the trick?
What I did is I was going to fire Comey. My decision. It was not.
You had made the decision before they came in the room.
I was going to fire Comey. There's no good time to do it, by the way.
Because in your letter you said I accepted their recommendation.
Yeah, well,
so you
also
had already made the decision.
I was going to fire regardless of recommendation.
So there was really room.
He made a recommendation. He's highly respected. Very good guy. Very smart guy. The Democrats like him. The Republicans like him. He made a recommendation, but regardless of recommendation, I was going to fire Comey.
Okay, that's established. And then, as Trump had mentioned in the letter in which he fired Comey, thank you for exonerating me, or at least saying I wasn't a part of the Russia-Trump connection investigation of the FBI, he actually pinpoints the day in which he asked that question.
I greatly appreciate you informing me on three separate occasions that I am not under investigation. Why did you put that in there?
Because he told me that. I mean, he told me
he
that.
He told you weren't under investigation with regard to the Russia investigation?
I've heard that from others. I think.
Was it in a phone call? Did you meet face to face?
I had a dinner with him. He wanted to have dinner because he wanted to stay on. We had a very nice dinner at the White House very early on. A dinner was arranged. I think he asked for the dinner. And he wanted to stay on as the FBI head. And I said, I'll, you know, consider. We'll see what happens. But we had a very nice dinner. And at that time, he told me, you are not under investigation, I knew anyway.
He knew anyway. Anyway, on the line to discuss that, Scotty Nell Hughes. She's a grassroots political strategist, recently served as the political editor for RightAlerts.com, and was a frequent guest on CNN defending Donald Trump during the campaign. Thanks for joining us again here on the Drive Home at 5, Scotty.
Thank you for having me. And I agree with you. This is a very monumental point of Donald Trump's administration. But I have to say, I'm still a little bit surprised by this big brouhaha. I mean, once again, I saw very liberals in our press like collapsing in tears. I see people saying that this is the end of democracy as we know it is over because Comey was removed from a position. And President Trump finally had the cojones to do what Democrats were screaming for just 9 months ago.
All right, but Scotty, people even who are of your belief system and believe, hey, this should have happened earlier, maybe back in January, right after the president was inaugurated, and he probably would have gotten a standing ovation from both sides of the aisle for that. But the optics, the timing of this, the very next day meeting with Kissinger in the morning, which reminded everyone of the Watergate years of Nixon, and then the two old Soviet apparatchiks back to back, belly to belly. I mean, the timing couldn't have been worse, Scotty.
But let me ask you this. When would have been a good time to ask for Comey's resignation, which would not have been appeared politically motivated? We saw all the Democrats were calling for it. Even Maxine Crazy Lady Waters was saying that Comey was complete inept in his job. Every single time, anytime, even if it was right after the inauguration, people would have said it was because of Russia. This was just simply, you had the assistant attorney general, deputy attorney general, spent the last 2 weeks after he was sworn in, after he was voted in, preparing this document. It was delivered to President Trump. He reviewed it, and he agreed with him, as well as Attorney General Sessions. And so here you go. This has nothing to do, you know, timing. In no day was ever going to be good for those people who do not like Trump to not make this a politicized event.
I know, but Scotty, because this investigation is ongoing about whether Trump personnel had contacts with the Russians during the very long campaign, it looks very self-serving by the president to whack him now.
But that's the thing. We still have zero evidence that there was actual collaboration known between the Trump campaign directed to Trump and Russia itself. And so even Democrats have admitted that. Even security experts and Comey himself said there is no evidence of it. So I think right now what you're seeing is this big brouhaha. And let me do the reverse of it. I think the reason why we're seeing Democrats in such a meltdown and such a panic is because they are afraid that the new FBI director might not have the puppet strings attached to the Democratic Party, attached to the Clintons, attached to the powerful elites that have put so many skeletons in the basement of our national security that they can't cover up the truth. I mean, we might actually find out the truth behind Fast and Furious with a new FBI director. We might find out the truth behind Benghazi. We might actually find out about Hillary's secret server. Or why did we not go to the DNC and actually go through their emails and their servers and inspect it? All of these things that Director Comey turned a blind eye to or only did just the bare minimum to not cause any fire or direct attention to the Obama administration.
All right, but Scotty and L. Hughes, the thing that seemed also to perturb the president about James Comey was that he would not investigate the president's claims that he was under surveillance by the Barack Obama administration. That really seemed to be the tipping point, wasn't it?
Well, I think that was probably just another point. You know, I even heard about his latest testimony that he gave in front of Congress. That also, I think President Trump, I'll agree with what the point he made on Lester Holt's show and he's put out. He wanted to fire him from day one. I think there was a lot of frustrations, and Democrats had frustrations too. So why not just, and for all these Democrats that are calling for this independent investigation, guess what? A new FBI director is that independent investigation into the Russian ties, as well as all these other questions and mysteries that have plagued the FBI for the past few months, really for the past year and a half, that have gone unanswered.
But now, Scotty and L. Hughes, there have been a number of names bandied about as a possible replacement for James Comey. Right here in our neck of the woods, our tri-state area, from Rudy Giuliani to Chris Christie to former police commissioner Ray Kelly, there have been some others who have been mentioned. In your mind, is there any man or woman out there, if the president were to tap into them, it might actually assuage the critics a bit or at least slow them down?
Well, you look at what Gorsuch was. I think he was somebody that across the board people could say was a good pick for the Supreme Court. Yet most households did not know that name prior to him being nominated by President Trump. You're right. I hear things such as Trey Gowdy. I've even heard of people that have lost past elections as Republicans. I actually think the president will go hopefully for somebody on to the per se outside, maybe a less known name. You're going to have to find somebody, though, that does not have the skeletons in the closet like Chris Christie, who I actually respect a lot. But you know immediately they're going to go after Bridgegate. I really adore Rudy Giuliani, Mayor Giuliani, but you know they're going to pull out anything that they can on him. You're going to need to find somebody that's almost as clean as the Pope. Because you know Democrats are going to use this to go against them, regardless of who it is.
Well, I offer.
In fact, I don't even know if Jesus Christ could be confirmed unanimously by our Senate these days. They're so polarized.
I have a suggestion, and the name has not surfaced because before the election, he was a critic of Donald Trump. He was a supporter of Hillary Rodham Clinton when he was still serving as the New York City Police Commissioner. But Chief Bratton has stellar credentials, having been the chief of police both in New York on two occasions, in L.A. He obviously did very well when it came to surveillance and keeping New York City safe and secure, as we're always potentially under attack by our enemies. That would really throw everyone for a loop.
Actually, I don't think it would. Actually, I've actually heard his name, the chief of police, former chief of police in New York, and I've heard nothing but positives about him, even with a D beside his name. That is the one thing that I think people need to realize about Donald Trump. He's not going to look at the letter beside the name. He's going to look at the credentials. And he has put time and time again, America's safety first. And I think if Chief Bratton is someone who has a proven track record of that, I guarantee President Trump and his staff are looking very closely to him. And I have to say, I don't think that they would have taken this step with former Director Comey without having another short list already ready to go looking into.
Do appreciate that. That's Scotty Nell Hughes in the firing line during the campaign in defense of Trump once again, as the president is under fire for his sacking of James Comey. I believe I'm the only person who has suggested Bill Bratton. Look, I wasn't his biggest fan, but the guy certainly knows law enforcement. He has had a stellar career. He has overseen what was created by Raymond Kelly in New York, almost like an in-house FBI to vet out potential terroristic threats to New York City, target number one. And he was a supporter of Hillary. I think that if he would have nominated Bratton, if he would have the culions, the onions to do that, that would take a lot of bite out of what he just did in whacking Comey.
Deep connections, deep understanding.
I admire Curtis Sliwa, and I think that he takes his life into his own hands doing what he does.
The Drive at 5 with Curtis Sliwa.
He's a man of the people.
77 WABC.
Going. Now I dialed 911 a long time ago. Don't you see how late they're reacting? They only come and they come when they wanna. So get the more truck and then bomb it going.
527 on the drive home at 5. Flavor Flav with that clock around his head, but Public Enemy, I'd like to strangle him with it. In this case, no, Flavor Flav, 911 was not a joke. As a woman in a Queens discount store who was working at the time was taken a knife point into the basement of that facility and sexually assaulted by a 17-year-old enemy of society who was then nailed, I think, about a block away from the crime scene by the NYPD. But it's really the story afterwards as he goes for arraignment, and that's where we're going to pick it up because the Daily News broke this story. And on the line now to discuss it is Laura Diamond. She's a reporter there. And Laura, exactly who is this person who committed this devastating crime, and what is his background?
His name is Donovan Fenton. He is from Brooklyn. He has about 8 arrests in his past. It started in November. He punched a girl. He's accused of punching a girl on a train, okay? He got a DAT, a desk appearance ticket for that one. He didn't show up. And then April 30th, he's accused of an armed robbery. May 5th, another armed robbery, both at knife point. And then the following day, the rape in the discount store in Queens, as you said.
Now, I understand that in these previous robberies that did not result in also him sexually assaulting the clerks, that he would come in with bandanas completely draped around his face and then demand, you know, the money or your life. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. I spoke to one of those victims today, and he said that he held a knife to his back and said, "Open the cash register or I'll kill you."
Okay, so he comes into Queens State Supreme Court, and I'm assuming the ADA for District Attorney Brown asked that he be remanded to jail without bail as a menace to society. Would I be correct on that?
You are correct on that.
And then what happened? What transpired when he was before the judge?
When it became clear that Judge Michael Katz, who, by the way, is a civil judge, he was sitting on the bench for the day. It was a weekend day. This is a practice that, you know, is not uncommon. When it became clear he was going to grand bail, the prosecutors asked for $500,000. Okay, this is for four of those four charges: the assault, the two armed robberies, and the rape.
Right now, hold on, Laura Dahmer. Let me get this straight. So the ADA originally says remand him to Rikers Island, no bail, and this Judge Katz then sets a bail at what?
$17,000 for all of those crimes. So just about 3% of what the prosecutors asked for.
And naturally, he gets sprung. Somebody puts up the bail, or maybe goes to a bail bondsman, puts up some collateral, and this guy is now walking the streets?
Yes.
And has there been any response from Judge Katz?
He did not comment. No, he had no comment. He said, I cannot comment on a pending case. The Office of Court Administration, in a comment, said that bail is not meant to be punitive. It's just meant to ensure that the defendant returns to court. But whether or not it's punitive, the defendant is now walking the streets and could potentially commit other crimes, yes.
So they haven't put on, like, an electronic monitoring system on him, put him under curfew, you know, this way at least they can follow his movements. He's just free to basically go wherever he wants, whenever he wants, before his next court update.
Yes.
Wow. Well, I do appreciate it, because if not for the Daily News, we would never have heard of this story. Do we know when he's expected back in court again?
He actually is going to grand jury tomorrow, and that will be under a different judge, and that indictment, a different bail amount could be set on a conviction on that indictment. So that is tomorrow, Friday.
Well, do appreciate your ability to bust your shoes and follow up on this. Laura Diamond, reporter for New York's hometown newspaper, The Daily News. Check this out. He punches a woman in the face on the A train, walks off the train. He gets a disappearance ticket. That's what a desk appearance ticket is called. It gives you a court date. I know, I've had many of those. It's a disappearance ticket. He never shows up for court. He then walks into two separate stores in Jamaica and Richmond Hills. He's got bandanas around his face with a knife, telling the clerks, your money or your life. They give up the money. And in the last case, he walks into this store on the weekend, and he not only robs the woman, who already feels she's under danger, he takes her into the basement and sexually assaults her repeatedly, raping her, sodomizing her. And this judge named Katz, this judge of no consequence, hits him with a bail of $17,500, which means, hey, you put up a little bit of collateral, you're footloose and fancy free. Hey, if you happen to know Judge Katz out there, the civil court judge in Queens, tell him he's a shunda. He's a double disgrazia.
Curtis Sliwa, the deepest knowledge of the city.
If you're the next mayor of the city of New York.
The Drive at 5, 77 WABC.
By 40, every day, more Mishigash in the airways, airlines, passengers, whether it happens to be at the airport itself or on the plane itself. Ever since the infamous Dr. Dow was dragged off of that United Airlines flight, that connecting flight from Chicago O'Hara Airport to Louisville, we have seen now the punch out. Spirit Airline passengers with employees down in Fort Lauderdale, Hollywood. Then on a Southwest flight, a connecting flight that stopped in Burbank on its way to Oaktown, Oakland, two passengers slugging it out. And then a report on a flight in which it was a connecting flight, United Airlines connecting flight, that a woman was told, hey, buckle up your seatbelt, there's turbulence. If you got to pee, then pee in this cup. And just keep filling up the cups. On the line to discuss that, Pauline Frommer, president of Frommer's Media. She's co-host of the Frommer's Travel Show. You can hear it every Saturday, 3 to 4, right after Joan Hamburg. Thanks for joining us on the Drive Home at 5, Pauline.
Oh, it's great to be here. I just flew out to Michigan. Nothing happened on my flight, luckily.
You mean they didn't give you a cup and told you to pee in it, you know, because there was turbulence in the sky? Buckle up your seatbelts?
No, but, you know, I think you're making an excellent argument for re-regulating the airlines. It seems pretty clear to me that they can't get their stuff together. And they are an industry that used to have a lot of government regulations. They no longer do. maybe it's time for the government to step in. It doesn't look like the free market is really helping, and American Airlines just announced that they're going to be squeezing us into even smaller seats. So, you know, things just keep going wrong with these airlines, and I just don't trust them to make it better at this point.
Well, maybe the reason that American Airlines is cutting down on any length that you have between your fellow passengers is it would make it a lot more difficult for law enforcement to come on board and drag you out of your seat like they did Dr. Dow, because you'd be in there like a sardine.
Well, you know, it should be funny, but it really isn't, because they tested safety aboard these planes when they had more legroom. The last safety tests were about a decade ago, and since then they've squeezed us and squeezed us and squeezed us more. And I'm worried about, you know, if there's an emergency and they got to evacuate that plane quickly, I don't think they're going to be able to do so anymore.
Well, maybe they'll, Pauline, start putting you in the overhead compartment, since they charge for baggage now, or in steerage. You know, they'll have a special steerage price.
Or maybe we'll get to stand. Maybe there'll be a standing room section. You never know.
Now, Pauline, because you're a veteran traveler and you've heard many people who've had great stories, but some people didn't have very good experiences on the airlines. Is it just the fact that we're seeing more video and more pictures now that we weren't privy to because people are right away pulling out their cell phones?
It could be partially that, but I do think it has to do with the fact that when you're in a seat that your body really can't fit into and you're so uncomfortable, people explode. People are getting much more upset than they used to, because these are much more like sardine cans than they used to be. I just think that they're putting our bodies into what are called stress positions, and we're reacting. I am hoping somebody will step in and stop American from squeezing more seats in. We know that Spirit has only 28 inches. They're the smallest in the industry, from the back of one seat to the beginning of another. That's crazy. Americans are getting bigger, but the seats are getting smaller.
Now, it used to be simply you would get on board an airline and the captain was in charge. Everybody knew whoever was the captain of that airline, of that particular airplane, was calling all the shots, you know, and ultimately if there was a problem. Is that the case any longer?
I think it's the case. I mean, the big problem with captains right now is there's a shortage of them. They're not being paid as well here in the United States as they are in other areas of the world. So a lot of airline captains are defecting to Asia, to Europe, and the airlines are having trouble finding captains. That's part of what was behind the melee with Spirit Airlines. The captains are trying to get more money from Spirit, so they staged what looks like a walkout.
Now, you remember, it was a while back, it was a JetBlue flight that was leaving that same Hollywood Fort Lauderdale airport, and it was delayed many hours. I forget what the considerations were for the flight not taking off. But former U.S. Senator Alphonse Ali Boy D'Amato, if you remember, led a passenger protest and got dragged off by the Broward County Sheriff's office. Do you anticipate seeing more of these impromptu protests? I mean, the last one with Spirit ended up in fisticuffs.
Yeah, that was odd. I don't know. I mean, I think what we're going to see more and more of are these videos, because they do seem to make some changes. I mean, thanks to all of the hullabaloo around Dr. Dow being dragged off, the airlines have changed their regulations about when they're going to bump people, how much compensation they're going to give. They're going to give a lot more compensation. So don't you be raising your hand early and saying you'll take $200. You can get a couple thousand now, so get it. So things are changing, maybe because of social media. I don't know if it's going to be fisticuffs as much as social media protests.
Do appreciate that. It's Pauline Frommer. You can catch her as the co-host of the Frommer's Travel Show Saturday, 3 to 4, right after Joan Hamburg. But I will tell you this. I'm still wondering that day when Alphonse Ali Boy D'Amato, the former U.S. Senator of New York, was half in the bag. Was it truly that he was upset and leading a protest of his fellow passengers, or was it the liquor that was talking? With Alphonse Alleyboy D'Amato, if there's no money involved, it wasn't a principal decision. I think it was the liquor talking.
The Drive at 5 with Curtis Sliwa.
Guardian Angel found a Curtis Sliwa.
Really trying to help our cause.
WABCRadio.com.
Keep it suit up. Your hip-hop, reggaeton, monsters, the mayhem, arrested and accused of committing vile crimes in the borough of Queens. But Jerry Barmash, our Long Island reporter, has been busting his shoes in a three-part series in which he has been reporting on what's being done to rein in the menace of MS-13, and he really has focused on our Guardian Angel effort.
It's a 77 WABC News special report. MS-13, Long Island's War.
This week we talk to residents who are worried about MS-13 in Central Islip, but they are pleased to see the Guardian Angels each week in their community. I toured with them for the mostly positive reaction, although they were met with some resistance. Confidence exudes from every pore as the men and women in red walk from dusk to darkness in Central Islip. It's one of two Suffolk County towns at ground zero in the war with the vicious gang, who have machetes and baseball bats in their deadly arsenal. Assembling the Angels each week is 31-year member, Patrol Director EQ. But growing up in East Harlem, he had many opportunities to join a gang.
I grew up in the projects, Carver, that's around 99 Park to Madison. You had 150 gang members. They were called the Madison Avenue Mob. Once I saw 150 of them beat up on one guy.
Instead, the teenager used his upbringing to stay on the right side of the tracks.
I was from the community. I never wanted to do wrong. I wanted to do the right thing. I had good parents. They raised me the proper way. But the gangs, they wanted to recruit me. They knew my father lost his job. They told me, we want to look out for you. You know, your father lost his job. We have some money for you.
He didn't take the money, and his trajectory toward altruism was secure.
All those guys that I knew back then, all of them are dead because they went to jail, and they thought in jail they could do the bad things that they were doing.
Even earlier, a memory from the 10-year-old EQ stays with the 53-year-old version.
Members of this gang, they took a housing comp. They opened up the water pump. They put his head where the water's coming out, and that water gushed out. He was bleeding because of the pressure, and they were trying to take his gun. And then I called 911 on the telephone, and cops, they were coming from all directions.
5 years later, he was approached by a gang leader to kill someone and earn $500 a night. EQ's values would prevail again.
I can't be taking people's lives. I'd rather be the poorest person in the planet Earth.
If he didn't join the Guardian Angels 3 decades ago,
I could have been doing bad things to the community. I could have been in shootouts, robbing people. And every night when I go to sleep, I have to look at myself in the mirror. Did I do good with my life from the moment I was born until now? Or did I do anything bad with my life? I want to look in the mirror and say, I done good.
Do you, like, share this wisdom with members of MS-13? That you could do what I'm doing?
If I would have an opportunity to talk to them, I would. No problem at all. I can let them know I almost became one of you guys, but I didn't. Let's talk. If the young ones don't want to talk, let me speak to the leader. Let's figure out something positive. Rather than killing the community, let's bring peace and love and no fear to the community.
In Central Islip, Jerry Barmash, WABC News.
And then in Queens, a Jose Flaco Gonzalez, MS-13 member, shot and paralyzed another young man. And once he was arrested by federal authorities, guess what? He had no legal status in this country, as MS-13 has used the border as if it were a turnstile to commit mayhem in our country. They need to be put out of business.